Bla 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 bla. Welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast, brought to you by Monsanto. Monsanto, making vegetables for the future. Monsanto. Check them out on monsanto.org. Wonderful company. I don't know if you guys have heard about these folks or not, but they approached me. Fantastic group of farmer-friendly scientists who are making our food better than what God could make. And that is a wonderful thing, because as all of us know, God's festering body is somewhere in the labyrinth of heaven. He obviously fell in between his mattress and the wall, and his face is being chewed off by his cats. And while that happens, our vegetables have started tasting like shit. But the brave scientists at Monsanto had the guts to go into the very basic, most basic nutritional element of our diet, vegetables, and change them genetically so that, A, not only are they now a million times more profitable for the fine scientists at Monsanto, but B, they're not going to taste bitter. They're not going to taste like some bland, old, shitty, bitter crap food. I'm sick of asparagus making my piss stink. I don't want that anymore. These guys at Monsanto, they're going to make asparagus make your piss smell like Lysol. These folks at Monsanto are going to make every single thing that you eat come out smelling like Lysol. And as far as I'm concerned, that's some great news for the future. Monsanto, check them out, www.monsanto.org. Go down there, check out some of their wonderful, order some of their genetically engineered seeds, and don't be afraid to scatter and plant those everywhere you can. Let's get the scientifically engineered food into the food stream as soon as we possibly can, so that we don't have any of these old-fashioned vegetables stinking up our goddamn sizzler platters or fucking up our soup plantation buffets. There's nothing worse than going to a nice Vegas buffet and taking a bite of non-genetically engineered food. Folks at Monsanto are going to make it so that in the future, every single thing you eat is going to be owned by these farmer-friendly scientists, and that is why I decided to let them sponsor this podcast. The Duncan Trussell Family Hour is brought to you by Monsanto. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. This is going to be my first podcast since I got one of my balls sliced off. I feel 50 times better than I felt in a good long while. I got my results back. Very good results. I don't have to get chemotherapy, which is awesome. I just have to get a little bit of radiation, which is a safety precaution to make sure the shit hasn't spread into my lymph nodes. But other than that, I'm going to be fine. Just got to get my goddamn nodes spanked for becoming a little too individualistic. And after that, everything's going to be fine. I'm not going to make this, like I said, this isn't going to be a goddamn cancer show. But since it is the predominant experience that I'm having in my life right now, I would like to make some observations on cancer. The big observation is that no matter how good it feels, you guys have got to stop dipping your balls in Diet Coke. Don't do it. I know that it's a great way to relax after sex. I know that it's on your lunch break. It's nice to go outside and cool down your balls and some Diet Coke. But the end result of that is that it can cause cancer. So don't dip your balls in Diet Coke. I'm not going to get preachy about that. If you want to do that, look, I know it's fun. I know it's fun to go to a bar and, you know, while you're chatting with your pals on the patio, dip your balls in Diet Coke. But it's not. I don't think it's worth it. So if you can stop dipping your balls in Diet Coke, definitely stop dipping, because it'll end up costing you a lot of money, because cancer is expensive to get. The other thing it's made me realize is that ignoring shit is probably the stupidest thing any human being can do. And it's something that I have had the tendency to do forever. I'm always ignoring stuff. And it's like, the sooner you deal with problems, the better you're going to be. If I had waited and ignored my swollen testicle, if I hadn't gone in to get a physical, then that shit would have spread up from my lymph nodes into my heart and into my brain. And I could have died from ignoring. You can die from ignoring. And it's not just cancer, it's anything. Don't ignore anything, because cancer is just the physical representation of shit that will happen in your life. There's a social cancer happens all the time where you will have in a group of friends, you will have someone in your life who is like a malformed, mutated, angry, passive-aggressive testicle. And you'll wonder, you'll just think life sucks. You'll just think it's no fun to go out, or you'll just have this general sense of gloominess, like people are assholes. But the odds are pretty good that really what's going on is that you have someone in your life, something or person in your life that is a poisonous, diabolic, demonic force. It can be somebody in your family. It can be a friend. It can be a boss. It can be a job. But don't ignore it. Don't pretend it's not happening. And if you can, cut that thing out of your life. Because once you do that, you will feel so much better. And if you're like me, you will experience all these incredible things in your life that you thought were just never going to come back. For example, I've started blasting, forgive me, you guys, kids, fingers in the ears, or anyone who gets offended, or anyone who's offended by talking about semen. I'm started to have the healthiest, frothiest, most beautiful sprays of jizz have been erupting from my butt. And also, erections after this surgery have gotten 10 times better, like I'm on Cialis or something. I just thought I was getting old, and the kind of unfortunate jizz that I was creating was just a product of being old. I didn't realize I was making cancer spray. I had no idea that that terrible, pathetic failure that was coming out of the tip of my cock was related to the lazy piece of shit testicle who was sitting on the sofa in my balls wearing a baseball cap and smoking joints and playing video games when he should have been busy doing whatever he had to do to make sweet barrels of frothy white jizz. That's what cancer is. It's like having a lazy bro living in your balls. End result, you get old man jizz instead of young, youthful, porn star level jizz. Sorry, but it's vitality. I'm not afraid of semen. Sometimes when you talk about semen on stage, people will moan like it's some kind of racy topic, when it really is one of the half of the component for all human life on this planet. And if that is coming out of your, if that stuff isn't coming out of your penis with a white glow of fresh snow in the Alps, then you should get it checked out. You will feel better. That's the thing. A cancer diagnosis, it's not like when you get a cancer diagnosis, the doctor is giving you cancer. It's that you finally get to fight. It's the doctor is giving you a chance. And there's some weird superstition people have that if you get the diagnosis, then that's when it begins. No. The diagnosis is just when things start getting better. So, diagnose yourself socially. Figure out if you've got some kind of swollen testicle in your life in the form of a shit friend or even someone in your family or whatever it is. And get some help. We all need a doctor. We need shamans. We need advisors. Figure out the best course of action, but get that shit out of your life. There's no need to have poison in your balls, whether they're your real balls or whether they're the balls that your friends are in. That's anyway, to all of you who sent me a sweet tweet or nice emails or nice Facebook messages or called or texted me, and I just want to dedicate this song to you, Stevie Wonder. I just called to say I love you. Buy it on iTunes.
No New Year's Day to celebrate. No chocolate cup. April rain, no flowers bloom. just call to say I love you. I just call to say how much I care. I just call to say I love. No summer's high, no warm July, no harvest moon to light one tender August night, no autumn breeze, no falling leaves, not even time. No Libra sun, no Halloween, no giving thanks to all the Christmas joy you bring. But what it is, though old, so new, to fill your heart.
The Doug and Trussell Family Hour is brought to you by Shore Design T-Shirts. Shore Design T-Shirts is a company in Thailand that is solely devoted to creating fabrics to relax and soothe the people of the earth. It's their mission. The man who runs Shore Design T-Shirts, his name is Anton Swanari. He's a dietitian, a yoga instructor, and a telepath. He's also capable of bending spoons with his mind, and he killed over 700 people in the Malay June massacre of the Dinh Dal province in Cambodia back in the mid-80s. An incredibly powerful, interesting human. Check his book out, Why I Make Him Soft. I think it's coming out in June. But aside from the amazing man behind these soft shirts, the shirts themselves speak for the man. This is a man who's been studied by scientists, because the way he manufactures these shirts is he goes outside. He lives in a little cabin in the midst of this beautiful forest in Thailand. He fills his mouth with birdseed and he lays naked on the ground, his genitals covered in honey. And what happens is woodland animals will come and they're attracted not just to his genitals, but also to the honey that he's placed on his genitals. And they'll make love to him. And they'll make love to him for hours there in the forest of Thailand. And as they do this, the birds watch and they begin to feel more and more comfortable with eating birdseed out of the man's mouth. And when the birds fly down into his mouth, he bites their heads off, and immediately while copulating with the woodland animals, begins mashing up their feathers and the softer parts of their body until he gets this nice working pulp known as pre-shirt. And then finally, when he ejaculates onto the animals, into the animals, he will, what's left, he'll use that as the final ingredient to pre-shirt to make t-shirt fabric. And this creates the very soft shirts that every single one of their incredible shirts are made of. These are some of the softest shirts known to man. Why not go check them out at shirtdesignt-shirts.com? They have a lot of amazing designs, incredible hoodies, and if you put my name in, you get 10% off. Fantastic t-shirt company. Every day I wake up in the morning and I bow to an altar covered in Shirt Design t-shirts, and I pray to them, and they will speak back to you. They will speak back to you in the dark hours of the night when you're at your very loneliest. It's very possible that one of the shirts will slither into bed with you and tell you secrets. Shirt Design t-shirts, go check them out. We're also sponsored by audible.com. If you are looking for some relief from the fun that you're having hanging out with your family this Christmas, if it's just too much fun hanging out with your mom and your grandma and your dad, and you're just getting too fun overload, and you need a break from all the incredible conversations that are happening, and you're just getting embraced and accepted too much for who you are by your family, and everyone's so proud of you and just loving you up too much, and you need a little rest, then you can get an audiobook and listen to that to sort of like cool down a little bit from all that unconditional positive regard that you're getting from your spiritually healthy and intellectually advanced family over the holidays. You can go to audibletrial.com/familyhour, and you will get a free audiobook if you sign up for a trial membership. They've got so many great books there. They have the largest selection of audiobooks that exists. As I've mentioned before, there's an incredible book on how to deliver oral sex to your lover or friends called She Comes First. It's a life changer. And there's a lot of other great books there too. Adventure books, sailor stories, Stephen King tales, and of course my favorite, The Dark Tower. And they just got the Lord of the Rings series trilogy there. So if you get sick of the Peter Jackson nonsense and you want to get a real taste of somebody who's somehow psychically connected to another dimension in the multiverse known as Middle Earth, then go download those books. audibletrial.com/familyhour. They send me $15 for that. There are other ways to support this podcast. You can go through the Amazon portal, which is located at duncantrussell.com. When you're going to buy something from Amazon, you can donate, or you can go to the shop and check out the brand new t-shirts that we got. We just restocked all of our shirts, and there's a new design, which I really love. So please go check that out. The design is kind of a psychedelic and sinister and awesome. So go to duncantrussell.com, check out the shop, and buy some of those shirts with some of that Christmas money you got. Get some post Christmas presents for people, because we didn't have our shit together enough to get them out before Christmas in time for you to get them for Christmas. But that's because I had cancer. Have cancer. I can blame everything on cancer now. It's fucking awesome. So do that. Go to the shop, donate, or join the forum at duncantrussell.com and get in on the conversation that's happening there. Join in on some of the fun, interesting, the weird social experiment that thing is. There's a Minecraft server. There's a book club. There's recipes. There's a lot of cool stuff there. Go to duncantrussell.com and check that shit out. Okay, so this podcast, the guest for this podcast is, thank God, is a friend of mine, and thank God is someone that I know in this life, because he is, he has the most incredible energy and the most incredible outlook on life. He is a philosopher, he is a martial artist, he is an author, He is the host of his own podcast called the Drunken Taoist Podcast. He is a father, and he is someone that we are all very lucky exists on this planet. Everyone, please welcome back to the Doug and Trussell Family Hour, the amazing Daniela Bolelli. Welcome, the great, incredible philosopher, my pal, first guest on the podcast since I got one of my balls chopped off, Daniela Bolelli. What's up, dude?
It's an honor to be on the right next to the cleaver here with the...
Man, it's so good to see you.
Good to see you. I'm really, really happy to see that you seem to be doing great. You have crazy, freaky, good energy around you, so...
I feel really good, man. Yeah. I thought about you more
as you're getting your bowl chopped off. Is that what I inspire? Great.
The doctor said, I don't remember this because I had anesthesia, but the doctor said that as they were chopping off my ball, I was just screaming, Daniela! God damn it, my boy! The reason I thought about you, from the beginning of this goddamn ridiculous journey through fucking stereotype, because cancer is now just basically a journey through cliches,
right?
Because it's been so absorbed by the mass media, and it's just such a rife melodrama that you can like turn, you can really use it for melodrama, and so like you end up in like all these fucking like hilariously cliche situations, sitting at the doctor's desk, mm-hmm. Doctor tells you you've got cancer, you know, like going through an MRI with a funny nurse, or like all the things that you just feel like you're fucking in a Seth Rogen movie or something. Yeah. But through it all, man, I like the thing I kept thinking about, you're raising your middle finger up to the goddamn universe when it comes to you in this way. I kept thinking about how great that idea is, because there was one moment where I was laying in bed and started, and it's the only time it's happened, man. Mm-hmm. I started letting myself get depressed. Mm-hmm. And there was vertigo, and I started feeling depressed, like really bad, and just like, what world am I in? This mm-hmm. dark world that my body should. And then I'm like, wait. Fuck that. Fuck that. I'm not going to do it. And then this weird energy came through me. And ever since then, I felt pretty goddamn good, man. So I just want to say that not only is your philosophy sound good on paper, but now having tested it, I have the confidence of someone who's like learned some martial art. You know what I mean? Like when you're in a dojo and you learn it, I have the confidence that might come after having someone come up to mug me and decking them.
Right.
That's what I feel like. Cause it's like, whoa, this fucking shit works. And I know this Eastern philosophy, mm-hmm. this study on meditation, this idea, this existential notion of being able to completely control your reaction to negative phenomena. This is not just bullshit talk, man.
Right. No, it's funny that people who argue for the stuff that we ultimately like and use in our own lives, sometimes even they piss me off because I always feel like they're trying to sell me something. You know, I feel like I was reading this book, Robert Greene with 50 Cent, which the 50th Law or something. Robert Greene is a good writer, I must say. Yeah. You know, he's...
I don't know this book. What is this book?
No, it's called The 50th Law. It's like Robert Greene is this best-selling author of 48 Laws of Power and stuff like that. And 50 Cent, you know, rapper.
Yes. 50 Cent. That's what I wanted to make sure I was...
Yeah, it's like this really bizarre thing. And I was...
50 Cent wrote it with this guy?
Well, 50 Cent talked to this dude saying, I punched a guy in the face that one day. And Robert Greene goes, the deeper meaning of that punch in the face was, you know. So I was reading it. On paper, it looks good. They say the good stuff, the same thing we're saying right now. But I keep getting the feeling a lot of the time that people are selling me something. Like, if you do this, your life will be great and perfect and everything is going to work out and you're going to walk out empowered. And I don't know, if we weren't so quick to jump into the pitch sale, I would feel better. Like, to me is, I don't know, I have a slightly uglier take on it. To me is not do this, go through that door and your life will be amazing and finally you'll be safe. Is no, life will kick you around day and night
yes.
forever. no matter what you do, you can roll with it better. And the fun in the meantime, despite it all, but you know, this promise of safety is gonna be orca. You know, it's like, come on, man.
Well, that's retarded.
Yeah.
The promise of safety.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody's promising you safety, they're lying.
Right.
They're goddamn lying. They don't mean to lie. A lot of people probably really think they're gonna keep you safe, but it, you know, every time anyone tries to keep you fucking safe, that's not, things always fuck up. Right?
Totally. And I mean, because one of the things is, it doesn't work that way, you know. And I think particularly in US, we have the tendency of, we don't want to face the music, you know. There's this let's sugarcoat everything and put the accent on, it's all gonna be okay, you know, don't worry, this is. And I like the positive thinking, you know. Positive thinking is good, it certainly beats negative thinking, so I'm all for it. But at the same time, a lot of the people who go that route are people who don't do the initial step of just staring at the beast in the eyes, acknowledging that it's mean and evil, and you're not going to tame it ever.
Ever.
And if they do that and then they tell me, fuck it, middle finger and I enjoy it no matter what, I have an easier time with it, you know?
You know what this makes me think of? I just saw this amazing video on YouTube. I will post it, you guys. It's the Dog Whisperer. And the Dog Whisperer is trying to get a dog named Holly to submit. Mm-hmm. And so the Dog Whisperer does the thing where he kind of gets in the dog's eating, gets in the dog's face, is like kind of staying still to get the dog to kind of submit. The dog like tries to snaps at him.
Right.
And then like backs down and seems like it's kind of changed its tune. And then the Dog Whisperer is sitting in front. It's like, now you can see, look at his, it's now relaxed more. And that fucking dog jumps up out of nowhere and bites the fuck out of his hand. Right in the middle of him being like, yeah, I think I've done it. Just chomps his hand. Blood's coming out of his hand. Now, that's life.
Yep.
The next thing the Dog Whisperer does after that moment will tell you how that man really feels about dogs. Right?
Absolutely. Because that's where you see the real deal.
That's where you see the real goddamn Dog Whisperer. What does he do? Stays totally calm. Doesn't freak out. Stays totally in the moment. Holds out his hand. He just got fucking mauled, not mauled, but chomped pretty bad. Lets them pour water on it and stays in front of the dog really calm. You can tell it hurts.
Right.
But he didn't kick the dog. You know what I mean? He didn't like scream at the dog. He didn't change what he was.
Wow.
And see, we don't have control over the fucking, we don't have control over the dog. We don't have control over the universe. Yeah. We don't have the control over whether the universe decides to bite us again and again and again. But goddamn, every time it fucking bites.
Yep.
That's where you have control. Is, are you going to fucking like turn into a shrill, angry, pissed off, bitter, whatever the fucking thing is. Now, that attitude is way different from the common perception of positivity, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's, to me, is the same, but it's real. You know, one is positivity as in, you know, your Dr. Phil positivity is...
Yes.
Take the 7 steps to inner power and you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
If you follow the 12 law of these, then you're going to... It's like there's always this sense of reassuring you that there's no monster hiding under your bed. And the fact is, there is a monster hiding
under
your bed.
It's a battle. It's a war.
And it's never leaving. And eventually it's going to come out and kill you. So it's...
Oh, yes. It's going to kill you. Now, death. The whole thing about that, like the whole killing, here's another thing this fucking cancer has taught me as far as the whole death thing. Now, for a lot of people, death is the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're writing the things that you don't want, it's generally death.
Right.
Like there's things that probably definitely are like death is preferable to, like the old torture where they tie you down and let bamboo grow into your asshole. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay, I'll take death before that. But in general, death is the great ghost story of the West, right? Yep. Like, if you talk about death, the wrong people, like, they're all shuddering, freaked out. Now, one thing I've learned from this is that death is... My fear of death has now been, I think... I mean, it's probably never going to go away because I have an animal inside of me that wants to survive. But the whole psychological fear of death has been absolutely obliterated because, dude, these drugs are amazing. They have the best narcotics right now, man.
Nice.
People are dying better than they ever have to. When you die, you're drifting. Look, you're fucking floating through Candyland when you die in the West in a really great, sweet way,
right.
I think. Now, I know that being anesthetized during death or whatever, I don't know if that like makes you got anyone out there listening feel better. But I'm telling you, the thing I realized is this is a well-trod path.
Right.
Dying. As is natural.
A couple of people have done it already,
yeah,
yes.
A few have been down this fucking path. So that, I don't know, man. I'm not scared of that. The thing's going to kill us. We're all going to die. But it's like, and I guess the what you're saying is just know the reality of where you're at.
Yep. Big time. And it's actually funny because I had the biggest guilt trip moment, which I usually don't indulge in guilt, but I just finished emailing Duncan this, for you guys, I was emailing Duncan this thing that I wrote just on the spur of the moment, and it was like 20, 30 lines about this stuff, you know, about there is a big ugly monster hiding under your bed, you know, all the people who are trying to tell you there isn't, whether, you know, through religion, through philosophy, through self-empowerment, positive thinking, they're lying. I mean, they're selling you something, and it's about trying to reassure your fear. To me, the reality is facing that the stuff is as scary as you think it is, nothing less, all your fears are going to come through.
Yeah.
It's like, welcome to the world, motherfuckers. You know. Yeah. But at the same time, once you do that, there is the present moment, there is right now. So my attitude, like the last line that of this email I sent Duncan was, you're going to die anyway, let's have a party, you know? And
perfect.
And then I sent it, and then the next day I find out that this stuff is going on. I was like, fuck, good thing I sent it to Duncan, who has good sense of humor, because I sent it to anyone else, my ass would be just...
No, well, here's the other thing, man. This is the other thing I've realized, because I've been around some dying people. Man, I'm not dying, P.S.
Right.
So I can't really fairly say, I don't know, like, and I might have to go through radiation and chemo. So let's see once I start taking the fucking dragon's fucking jizz, the poison of the West. Once I get fucking, like, start mainlining that fucking popular drug, whatever chemo is. Let's see if I'm still as upbeat when I'm sapped and poisoned.
Right.
I think I will be. In fact, here's the weird thing, man. I don't want to do it, but if it happens, I'm looking forward to the fight.
Right.
And to test this fucking shit out, because you get a chance to test this shit out.
Yep.
And I guess like the monster under the bed thing. Before I go, besides, an email like that is awesome. You're exactly right. Exactly right. And people who, so what happens is you get this fucking like silly, not it's not silly, it's very serious, but you get a diagnosis where all of a sudden your life goes from being a Nerf ball. To being like, no, you just got summoned into the fucking arena, motherfucker.
Yep.
The emperor wants to watch you fight.
Yep.
What? I was just watching. Hey, let me finish my game of StarCraft, dude.
The pressure is on, man.
The pressure is on. You get invited into the arena to fight. Yep. And it's like, and so when that invite comes down the tubes, you get to decide how you're going to fucking handle it.
Yep.
You're going to be scared.
Yep.
Your heart's going to race in a way that has never raced before in your life. All your senses are going to wake up. And you can face that by playing this game. Hello, Daniel.
Right.
I've been calling my friends to let them know that I've received a cancer diagnosis. And I will be going through multiple surgeries. You know, that kind of fucking shit.
Right. Yep.
Or you can be like, okay, all right, the emperor wants to watch me fight. Let's see if the fucking years of training are real.
Right.
Let's find out if this Buddhist shit is real. Let's find out if the meditation is real. Let's find out if all the fucking acid I took is real. Let's find out if all the fucking books I read on philosophy.
Yep.
Let's find out if Sun Tzu is right, if Taoism is right, if any of this shit makes any sense when it comes to the big moment.
Absolutely.
And God damn it. It's right. It's right. It works, dude.
Yeah.
It fucking works.
Yeah.
That's the joy, you know, that you figure out from this stuff. And also, on top of that, the monster under the bed, I want to talk about that a little bit because I think that is not a monster. I think just because it kills you doesn't make it a monster. I think that fucking thing is wearing a mask. I think that might just be a really mischievous interdimensional toddler who likes to kill people. I guess that's also a monster.
Yeah, that doesn't make it.
That's even worse.
I can see lots of horror movies based on that premise. Yes.
Interdimensional death toddler.
Yeah, that's fuck. That's a horror right there.
Transcendent death toddler.
Yeah. who laughs in his toddler's laugh as he kills
you. Well, you know what, man? Well, you know, if you want to play with the big boys, you got to be willing to drop your meat body, I guess. Yep, you know, like you can't. It's not. You're not gonna like. How long? We're all gonna die.
Right.
Pretty much everything that you're attached to in your life, you're attached to it in the same way that you were attached to the toys that you had in your crib. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you got to get out of the crib and start playing with the toys. Unfortunately, the crib is your body.
Yeah. And all the stuff in this life that you're attached to, you're all going to lose. People, objects,
mommy,
fame,
daddy,
memory, everything. Yeah. It's all going to go.
Yeah.
So this whole journey is a serious lesson in non-attachment.
Yeah.
Because, not because there's anything wrong. I mean, fuck, I got attached to everything. You know, it's natural. It's normal. It's fun. And because you like them, you want them to stay there forever.
Yes.
And so you're attached to their reality.
Yes.
Which, in a world that's constantly changing, being attached to something, staying the same, good luck with that. Have fun with that concept, because it's not going to happen. You know, it's a recipe for misery constantly. Yes. And so then you have the weird paradox of how can you love deeply and intensely and enjoy life not being attached? Because, you know, the typical thing you say is non-attachment, just neither this nor that.
Yes.
Be the monk up on a mountain who looks at it all go by without passion, ultimately.
Pussy.
Exactly. And it's like, that's not an alternative. That's been dead before even being dead.
Yeah.
You know? And so that combination of being able to love deeply and intensely people, life itself, the whole thing, while at the same time not being attached because you know it's all going to be taken away from you.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like it's pulling you in so many opposite directions at the same time. And when you're able to ride it, it's amazing.
Yes. And you won't be able to ride it all the time,
no,
right?
No, of course not. And that's the, you know, you're regularly going to fuck up and then you catch yourself. And, you know, the more you're used to, once you have done it once right, I think it's easier to get there.
Yeah.
But of course, there's no guarantee, you know, because everyone is going to lose balance and it's a matter of figuring out how to get back. And
well, that's something that my... this trainer I got right before I got my balls clipped off. So funny, right before I got one of my balls snipped, I was about to do this whole like get in shape thing. Well, actually now I can really get in shape because I don't have a fucking cancerous tumor in my testicles. But one thing he said is that this through getting in shape is you get success through failure.
Mm-hmm.
You get success through your muscles being too tired to work anymore, and that's pretty cool, man. And through stand-up you get success through failure.
Yep.
So it's like through this practice of not look, you're gonna get in big blow-up fights with you start this practice. This is that you've heard the term meditation as the practice is practice for death. Have you ever?
Yeah.
Totally right.
Absolutely.
Totally get what that means. So basically the entire universe becomes a dojo, right?
That's what it is. I mean, conflict is all around us all the time. There's always the conflict between how we want reality to be and how it actually is.
Yes.
So, you can either get kicked day and night forever or figure out a way to ride a wave, which doesn't mean it makes it all okay, because dying sucks, losing your loved one sucks.
Yes.
There are a million things that will rip you to pieces and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yes.
So it's not to say, no, really, it's all part of this beautiful... No, it's not fucking beautiful at all. It's horrible. At the same time, there's so much beauty going on at the same time that being able to acknowledge the horror of it all while enjoying the beauty of it all, that's something.
Now, when you say that, what comes to my mind is I think, well, I wonder this, and maybe this is a cop-out, but I think, okay, isn't it more that it's not beautiful and it's not horrible? It's neither of these two things, that these two things are just a sort of a linguistic form of attaching the mind to infinity.
In the universe is what it is. You know, it doesn't give a fuck one way or another.
Yeah.
It's not good or bad. It's not doing something to spite you or to help you. It's nothing, you know. So in that sense, there is no moral dimension. There is no either thing. But we being human, perceiving things the way we do, being animals, having the mind that works in a certain way.
Yes,
there is. And that's what makes life fun, at least from our perspective, is the contrast of it all.
Let's take the worst case.
Right.
Worst case.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think of the worst case. Now, the worst case in history, of course, the worst case is... now, fuck it, some old worst case. Let's take new worst case. Okay, new worst case. Oh, perfect thing. New worst case. Parent, kids gone to school, you're at work. Turn on the news.
Right.
What?
Yep.
See the kids getting marched out. Well, I don't see my kid, and those kids getting marched out. What the fuck? Call. Sorry. Child dead.
Right.
Now.
That's as bad as it gets, right?
That's pretty much as bad as it gets.
Yep.
So now you have this phenomena that's emerged into your life.
Yep.
That is indescribably fucked up.
Yep.
Right. So, yeah, fuck. You decide if it's good or bad, man.
Yeah, I mean.
If you decide that's good, what are you? You're a praying mantis.
Yeah.
You're an inhuman thing. To honor that situation,
yeah,
you have to address it from the perspective of, like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're full of shit.
Totally. It sounds like you are just out of fear. You're superimposing this abstract philosophy on life, trying to sugarcoat it, ultimately. No, it's really part of a divine plan, and it's he's with the Lord now, or it cannot be a religious explanation. It can be another one. But
that's nerfing it. Nerfing it. It's putting nerfs. So we want to peel away
right
as much as we can every single layer of bullshit away from the phenomena until we get to what it really is.
Yeah.
But I still, the word horrible or terrible, it seems fucking weird to me. I'm trying to think of, like, another way.
Don't think it in objective terms. Like, horrible or terrible is an objective idea. It's more like heartbreaking.
Yes.
That's your feeling, you know.
Yes,
it's inside of you. It's in the great scheme of things, horrible, not horrible, who the fuck knows and who cares? It breaks your heart. That's what it does.
So you have a broken heart.
Yeah.
What do you do, Matt? This is I want to think about here in this situation. The action that you take. I'm trying to empathize. I can't empathize with it.
You know, the thing I was... you mean the specific example you brought up or
I can't put my mind even close to the proximity of what that would be like. I can't even, like... It's like trying to imagine what it'd be like to be incinerated by an atomic bomb.
No, and I mean, the thing is, there is... you can have the best philosophy in the world. You can have experience, harsh stuff, and still everybody has a breaking point. You know what I mean? And that's the part also I don't like about the typical... follow our recipe and your life, you will be empowered and your life will be great. It's bullshit because everybody has a breaking point. So you can do everything right and you can still get hit with so much one day that you just can't deal with it. And
what are you then?
And
when you can't deal with it, what is that state? How would you describe that state? What is that?
Well, I mean, I don't know if there is even a way to describe it. Is life... applied, it's almost physics, you know, life applied enough pressure and just the total sum of your energy can sustain that pressure and you get crushed. And it's not that you're stupid or you're weak or you're whatever, that's how it played out.
Now you're crushed.
Yep.
You're a singularity. Mm-hmm. You're like what happens when light goes into a black hole.
Right.
What are you there?
If you're still alive, you are breathing, you have opportunities, you decide what you are at that point, you know, if you're able to. Maybe you can't and you've been pinned so much that all you can do is breathe and eat, but you're not really alive anymore because your inside has been squashed so bad. Maybe there's still something left there that you can find a way, and nobody can give you the way. That's the thing. Nobody can tell. People can tell you what they have done in their situation and then may give you ideas that then you create the way with it. But nobody can give you a preset plan of if you do this, then all is going to be okay. It's an individual journey.
It's the big wave, motherfucker. Yeah. Now, it's like the big wave.
Yep.
It's like that thing, you know, when you see like the surfer who gets the big wave. It's that. And mostly, usually those waves just crush you.
Yeah, nobody can teach you how to.
What are you going to do?
Right.
It's like, what do you do? I'm asking you, what do you do when you find yourself completely in the grasp of 5 trillion gallons of water?
Yeah, that fucking sucks.
You know, like being just tossed and turned on the wind. You know, just like just tumbling through this whole new, you've broken into this whole new universe. Quite often it's a universe where the thing you love most is gone.
Yep.
Everyone you loved is gone, or you're going.
Yep.
You're tumbling in the wind. Yeah, it's like, and But man, I don't know. This is maybe, I don't think we disagree, but there's some part of me that feels like even in that, and I do not want to find out, but there's some part of me that feels like even in that fucking moment, there will be that existential absurdity that kicks in.
Yeah.
Where you can still smile.
Yeah. No, I believe it. I don't think it's not possible. I totally believe it's possible. I just don't know that it's not guaranteed. Let's put it that way.
Not guaranteed, especially if you watch TV all the fucking time. If you're obsessed with keeping up with the Kardashians, right. If you haven't studied the scriptures, if you don't meditate, if you don't fucking, if you don't prepare yourself. Dude, you got to get ready for the fight, you motherfuckers. Because it's coming.
Yep.
Winter is coming.
Winter's
coming. You can't just pedal around your apartment in your fucking sweatpants and pretend that everything's going to be fine. It's smoking your goddamn stinky fucking cigarettes and eating Doritos and slamming Diet Coke after Diet Coke while you fucking endlessly jerk off.
Right. No, I mean, that's...
That does not get you ready for the big dragon that's going to come flying into your subdivision specifically to get you.
Absolutely. And not only you're not ready for that moment, because you definitely aren't, but you also are not enjoying life as much as you think you are.
Right.
Because once you face deep stuff, then every single damn moment is so much more fun. Because you know that it's going to go in a second and you're going to lose it. So you might as well dive 300% of yourself right here, right now, because that's all you got, right?
Yes.
And so it's like you taste it all. You embrace it. That was my, you know, you're dead already. Let's have a party. You know, it's like that attitude of, which is not denying all the ugliness of it all. And that, I guess, was my point, is I'm not denying any of this stuff.
No,
I don't want to sound like some cheapery, all for the best or some shit.
You really don't sound like that.
You look at all the hard stuff, you acknowledge it, and you find a way to laugh anyway.
Yeah.
And I mean, even the other day, this was minor, you know, I was just having a shitty day and I was like, I could hear it in my mind after a while. I was going, I am so tired. Oh, fuck. I have all these things I want to do. I have no energy and this thing is going on and that other, and this asshole that called me. And all this mental stuff, and it was making me miserable. You know, I was spent hours being miserable like that, until finally I was listening to myself, and I was like, I started making fun of myself. I was like, "Yeah, poor Daniele, boo hoo hoo, that's so sad. It's life is so mean to you.
Yeah,
here is that. It's like you sound so stupid when you realize what you're doing that it makes you laugh, and you stop taking yourself so damn seriously.
Sure.
It's like, come on, man. It's like." The psychological thing that's going on there when we whine like that is that we expect that, like when you're a kid and you whine hoping that your parents will pay attention to you then and give you what you want. It's like we're whining to the universe, like, can't you see I'm having a hard time? I deserve a toy now, you know, please. And it's like, it's so silly that is you can't help but laugh at yourself. And then you just like, just shut up and get back to business and take care.
Yeah, and that thing you just said, is a form of ritual. That's a form of ritual. And that's a form of like, that's why there's ritual. And that's why there's ceremony. And that's why there's demon banishing rituals and all the different crazy what you just said is the nucleus of an idea, which is like affirmations, for example, all these things that have been goddamn kidnapped by some of the most disgusting, vile, new age, fucking hemp wearing, angry, passive aggressive. So like wearing like rainbow colors, but they're like putting a fucking tie dye t-shirt on a rotting tooth. You fuck you, man. I don't need you. You positivity Nazis can go fuck off, man. Please
thank
get
you.
The fuck out of my life, you fucking assholes. But these sons of bitches went into the best places, found some of the best ideas, kidnapped the ideas, took them into their weird little passive aggressive encampments, and now bugle them out as though they're the experts of these fucking ideas when they're just fucking not even using them in a real way.
And it makes them, you know, because you end up using the same words, you sound like them, and you're the opposite, you know what I mean?
You're the opposite.
It's just like, no,
these motherfuckers. Yeah, exactly, because I, you know, one thing that's definitely worked for me, man, is affirmations.
Right.
Fucking work. But these cunts have grabbed the fucking affirm. They have practically have a copyright on affirmations.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, I'm telling you, that shit really works. What you're saying is a form of affirmation.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the affirmations they would say to do. No, you're beating yourself up. Why would you do that to your inner child?
Yeah.
You're pretty negative to yourself. That's what you're going to do? No. Just say, just talk about it. Just say you just love the world. Just lay on that bed of yours and just say, I love the world.
It's like, let me,
crap!
Let me punch her right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me just drown you in a giant vat of fucking hummus, you fuck.
That's why, to me, is like, I'm interested in the human being. I'm interested in is like a cross between the Dalai Lama and Eminem. You know what I mean? It's like, if it's only one way, it's really boring after a while and it's limited.
Yes,
is having both. You know, to me, the Dalai, you know, spirituality is great if it's tested under fire. Spirituality is great if it can sing some horrendously vulgar song. Spirituality is great if it's nitty gritty. You know, it's real. Otherwise, it's some abstract escapist bullshit that
just shit.
Yeah, that's taking the right language, saying the right words, and turning them into something that has nothing to do with it. You
nothing
know,
to do with it, and generally only designed to get pussy.
Which I have all the respect in the world for that plan, but
yeah,
you know,
but I don't look. Here's why. And by the way, I forgive me for like using such a vulgarity, like getting pussy. I meant to, you know, make sweet love to a darling. But it's still like you're a lot of this shit is like just like a wolf in hippie's clothing. It's a wolf wearing a goddamn wearing mala beads.
Yep.
You know, like it's so it's silly and it's obvious because the point is all this stuff's real. Affirmations work.
Yep.
Saying like I'm not, but more than anything, man, I think it's finding the fight. It's finding the battle. See, the other thing that I don't know. God, Jesus, I hope I don't keep saying this thing has taught me. But the other fucking thing this thing has taught me is why people like to go to war. Because it gives you this like life and death experience that is unlike any other thing.
Yep. You find out what really you are made of under fire. You find out what really counts for you. You find out there's truth in combat, so to speak, whether real combat or metaphorical combat. But that's, you find out a lot about reality.
So war is good.
Sure. That's exactly what we were saying. Right. War is good.
No, but I see why we're addicted to it.
Of course.
As a species, I see why we're fucking always mainlining war into our goddamn arm, because it's not just from money. It's because it's something about the fight and something about the campaign and the what do they call it? The theater of battle.
Right.
And like in all that stuff, there's something in it that's just a really exciting blast.
That's why I like MMA, because for me, that's what it's about, without the ugliness of real war and without the ugliness of being really a pawn in a bigger game in which you don't make too many choices. So in a real war, the fact is half of the time you're like this like pawn in the game that's being sacrificed left and right and you have no choice in it. That really sucks. You know, that's the ugly part of it all. In something like MMA, which to me is like ritualized warfare in the sense that, not literally, but ritualize facing fear, facing conflict, facing all the ugly stuff that you don't want to face. Because, I mean, there's some dude across from you who spent the last months, years training every day of his life just to knock your head out, you know, to make your head fly off your shoulders. That's a scary prospect, you know. So you do have those moments where you go in and you put all the work, but you have to deal with emotion, you have to deal with fear, you have to deal with fear of being in front of people who are watching you perform at your most vulnerable, in a sense, because any minute you could have some big guy sit on you and punch you in the face repeatedly where you can't do anything about it, which is not only it sucks physically, but it's extremely emasculating to feel that way in front of an audience, all of that. So you're dealing with
allowed to ejaculate.
Among other things. Yeah, so I mean, you're dealing with ego, you're dealing with all of that stuff. That's why to me it's like taking those moments and finding ritual forms that people can deal with stuff like this with, and not have to find out at the last moment when they have to face the real battle is key, because you build that muscle, you know, you build that muscle of fighting fear, dealing with your ego, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It is a it's a very funny thing that this isn't something they teach in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, that's what else do you teach? You know what I mean? This is as important as it gets, because everybody...
Algebra.
Yeah, it's like, fuck that.
Algebra is not going to fucking prepare you for when your fucking doctor tells you you got to snip a ball off.
No.
There's no fucking algebraic equation.
So when that happened, your math teacher from third grade didn't come to your mind and you said, thank you for that moment when you helped me for... Yeah.
If I had two... minus one is one.
Didn't
help at all, man. Yeah. It's so funny, man. I think about, whenever these school shootings happen, I always think about the public school systems, and I think about how odd it is that schools say they're educational systems, but aren't they kind of like day jails for kids?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's like, and the thing is, in order not to be sued, in order not to offend everybody, in order to have some objective standards, you can't really have too much of a subjective part in education, except that the subjective part, both the teacher and the person and the students, that's the real life. You know, the objective stuff is information you fill your head in, which it's knowledge and not wisdom. You know what I mean? Wisdom is by definition subjective in a way. It's very real, but it's not something that some guy can show up and be like, I'm going to give you this thing, this wisdom stuff that you, how do you do multiple choice about wisdom? You know what I mean? You do multiple choice about knowledge. You can test that stuff. And so schools in that sense have nothing to do with making you into a complete human being, into somebody who as the wisdom, and again, by wisdom, we're not talking about anything weird or mystical. It's like wisdom is in knowing how to live life well. That's
yes.
It, you know?
So right.
And that's, which is the most primary thing that everybody needs to deal with, is certainly not what we do in school, or it's not part of the goals of the
not team. At all.
No, it's nothing.
If you learn wisdom in school, it's generally because you found an LSD dealer.
Absolutely. It's like, it certainly has nothing to do with the content. The experience of school can be cool, you know, meet people, all of that. But as far as what you're taught, the way it's taught, what you're taught, what it's designed to do, no, that's not the point.
So there's something to me that's like, okay, when these events happen, there's a few, generally people go straight to the guns, which I'm cool with. I'm cool with going straight to the guns. Think about it. That's definitely a variable in this motherfucker is the fucking how some loon can go to goddamn fucking Walmart and get a goddamn, you know, get weapons. Okay. Now, I tweeted some anti-gun thing, or I'm not even anti. I love guns. Grew up with guns, grew up shooting guns, enjoy shooting guns. Wouldn't mind having a gun.
Right.
Wouldn't mind that, but not afraid of them. Certainly have no superstition attached to them.
Right.
But I think it's naive for these fucking crazy gun rights people. Like, it's about crazy people.
Yeah.
No. Come on, man. Come on. First of all, let's say it is about crazy people.
Right.
Let's take it, shrink it down to an understandable level. Let's say we're all, America is one, is a lunatic asylum. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. Let's say we're all living in a lunatic asylum that's America. And it's about the size of a normal hospital.
Right.
So there's like maybe, I don't know, 300 people. There's a small hospital, 300 people in here.
Yeah.
And of those 300 people, a certain number of lunatics are there. Right. So what's the first thing you do? You don't go and give therapy to all the lunatics in the lunatic hospital. You're like, let's get the fucking guns.
Yeah.
Out of the fucking hands. Let's get rid of all the guns. Yeah. You know, let's get the fucking guns and put them away for a second. And then we'll deal with the lunatics.
Right.
Get the sharp objects away from the crazies.
Yeah.
If you can. Oh, wait, what about fucking space heater? Somebody tweeted me that. What about a space heater? That catches fire. Burns people alive sometimes. Right. You want to ban space heaters? No. It's not the same.
And that's what's funny about the whole the debate that triggered the, you know, the shooting. Now everybody had an immediate emotional response and everybody knew exactly what to do. You know what I mean? And
right. And
that's where it's funny, because I agree with you. I may stand on the exact same point, which I can look at the pro-gun side and the anti-gun side, and they both make sense and they are both crazy. You know what I mean? Because they are both take it a good point to such an extreme that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's funny because on a practical level, yeah, you look at the pro-gun side and you're like, yeah, man, are you kidding me? You know, he's like a crazy guy who has, in his sense, the ability to pull a trigger and mow down 30 people is very different from a crazy guy on his own, you know?
Yes.
And at the same time, all the anti-gun thing, among many other things, there's the fact that in the U.S., there are hundreds of, probably millions of guns. if you ban today, still there's going to be such a humongous black market for three centuries you're not going to, you know, at the same, so whereas in Europe, you know, low anti-gun laws, hardly anybody has a gun. I've pretty much never met anybody with a gun. It's very hard to come by. In the U.S., it would be complicated, to say the least.
That's a problem. I mean, the fucking cat's way out of the fucking bag. And I recognize that. And also, you know, if you look at the statistics of gun homicides, there is a fairly large percentage of them that are self-defense, that are based on home invasions and people protecting themselves. And
of course.
So it's naive to think that guns aren't used for good.
Yeah, of course.
But we have to acknowledge what's going on. We can't look into like old patterns or lock down into old fucking patterns. Move, I got the right to bear arms. And you know, I tweeted some stupid tweet like, oh gosh, so dumb. Just like, you know, being able to hunt deer with Terminator weapons is not worth the occasional child massacre.
Right.
Right away. Use pistols. Use pistols. And then like our right to bear arms.
Right.
Is not about hunting. It's about defending ourselves from tyranny. Hold on. Hold the fuck on.
Right.
Hold on, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Do you fucking think that your Walmart fucking semi-automatics are going to defend against the largest, most advanced, most trained, most powerful military on planet Earth?
This is just like such demented fantasy that it's, you know, 200 years ago, maybe we're talking when the numbers were small and all you had was the shitty gun that both sides would have. Now, are you kidding me? It's like your history in 3 seconds. The whole notion that
they're about to invent invisibility cloaks.
Yeah, it's like
they can probably see through your fucking house with your goddamn Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to mention the fucking weird gummy, plasticky, chemical shit they can shoot on you that makes you like unable to move. Grass lubricant that makes grass slippery, flying fucking drones that can kill you from like anywhere that you're at, the tracking device in your phone, the tracking devices in your cars, the tracking devices God knows where else. Do you really think, oh, revolutionary warrior, that you are going to defeat these motherfuckers with a goddamn Walmart gun or whatever you've managed to get your fucking paranoid trembling hands on? Sorry, brother, not gonna work. You're not gonna beat them that way.
That's the equivalent of buying $400 worth of knives and axes and expect that you survive a real zombie apocalypse. It's like, not gonna happen.
It's, by the way, it's a sweet sentiment.
Sure.
I think there's something in it that's like adorable.
I like it, except that it doesn't work, but it's a good idea.
Fun to watch.
Yeah.
Would like to watch.
Right.
Would like to watch you and your fucking militia of alcoholics in the Appalachian Mountains take on a trained division of Marines who know strategies that they have learned studying every battle that's ever been fought since the beginning of time.
Yeah, no, good luck with that.
I want to watch that. I want to see how that goes down.
Yeah.
Let me see. I want to watch a fucking trained militia fight a fucking herd of DARPA dogs.
Yeah, no, it's like
it's robot dogs! Go down, you motherfucking commie robot dogs!
No, I mean, in fact, that kind of stuff is pure violent porn fantasy. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the thought. I mean, again, I can see the sentiment. And again, it did work out at various points in history.
Yeah.
Not today with the level of that stuff has nothing to do. And if anything, if you really want to argue, oh, I need my gun to protect myself from my government, you really have the problem that there's world tyranny tomorrow, you can get your hands on guns. You know, you show up, you kill a cop, you take their gun, with that you take another one, and you know, it's like, by the way, I'm not giving ideas here.
Yeah, what did you say?
Nothing, I was just, why are we talking about that again? I think we're talking about zombies.
You're like, you just go out, kill a cop, get his gun, buy some fertilizer, then you start going into like detailed descriptions, add 3 grams of sodium nitrate to the fertilizer.
I think we're talking about zombies, right? We're talking about The Walking Dead.
No, man, look, here's the bottom fucking line. So based on that, I tweeted something like that and someone wrote back, then you've just given up. Then you've given up, man. It's like, no, I haven't given up. I've analyzed what I consider to be the battlefield,
yep.
and recognize that we are vastly unprepared for a kind of direct confrontation with the power forces that exist. The only way we fucking beat these motherfuckers is by coming up with a brand new way. It has to be some kind of infectious, and I don't mean literally a bioweapon, but I mean some kind of infectious philosophy that makes fucking communism look like the common cold.
Right.
Some kind of brilliant new way of looking at the universe that makes killing a human being seem as repugnant and vile as pedophilia currently seems. So that people who kill become the new pedophiles. Murderers should have as much of a stigma against them as pedophiles. Any type of murderer, anyone who's killed, should walk with the same shame, should be as humiliated, as driven into the shadows as the fucking pedophiles currently are. The fact that that's not the case shows an imbalance, a strange imbalance. But something about that, something about a philosophy that makes it so that all the normal tools that the old crusty powered structures use to trick people into murdering others, those tools rot and decay and are shown to be purely absurd, embarrassing, rudimentary, primitive, barbaric.
And it has happened, because, I mean, look at so many things that today we consider barbaric and weird and we would be repulsed by. Like slavery today, most people are troubled by it, to say the least. Most of human history, they weren't. And, you know, things have changed. And so that's that some of the stuff is ongoing as it is. Hell, I mean, when the worst aspect of communism were on and the main weapon against it wasn't, you know, somebody dropping an atomic bomb on them wasn't. It was when you would have Red Hot Chili Pepper doing a concert that would be pirated and put all over in the deepest parts of Russia. And that made more difference than any million policies. And so that stuff is going on and continue to go on. Even some of the stuff, I mean, think about it, like even podcasting itself, the impact that it has on people around the world is mind-boggling. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. When
I was telling Rogan a month ago or something, when the Gaza thing was going on, I got two emails, one from an Israeli guy, one from... I'm like, what the fuck, really? He's like, so...
What did they tell you?
One guy was literally had to run under the in the bunker because missiles were flying, and he was like, I'm taking Duncan's podcast, Joe's podcast, and your podcast in my... And I'm going to just write it out, waiting, listening to this.
Crazy.
And 2 days later, I got this email from a Palestinian guy who studies in France who tells me, I'm really worried for my family in Gaza, but I'm using your podcast, Duncan's and so on, to distract myself.
Wow.
I was like, wow.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, look, that's the idea. The idea is, God damn it, what the idea is to, like, somebody out there, I don't know who it is, somebody out there is going to synthesize all of this different information floating around into a philosophy that isn't full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way goddamn Karl Marx sat down and wrote... What did he write? A specter is haunting Europe.
Yep.
Well. The specter of communism. Well, maybe a specter is haunting the world.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's the specter of peace.
Right.
Maybe it's the specter of nonviolence. Maybe it's the specter of a new way to deal with conflict that doesn't involve incinerating kids.
Right.
Now, I don't know. After those are the first three lines. Now, whatever the fucking thing that follows, that's got to come from a super genius with like a crazy high IQ who's been studying and raised by brilliant parents and like, or maybe a collective.
Right.
Maybe it comes from a collective mind.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I mean, that's, we are at the edge as in terms of humanity. When you think about it, you know, we are running out of resources. There's more and more of us every day. We are facing a very real potential catastrophe on the star ecosystem we rely on. We are, you know, all the dangers are incredibly high and there is no real solution any second now. And at the same time, the possibilities are amazing because we have technologies right now that we had never had before that allow us to connect with people across the world at instant. It's amazing. It's one of the most thrilling times to be alive ever because there's a abyss right next to us that we can crash and burn into, and
one of our balls is swollen.
Precisely, exactly. I think you're familiar with that concept. So it's like we are right there on that rope, and it can go either way.
One of our balls is currently filled with angry old men who make money off of war.
Yep.
Also, one of our balls is filled with prison systems that make money off of imprisoning people.
Hopefully it's the same ball, by the way.
Yeah, it's all the same ball.
Good.
Humanity, you're going to get one ball.
Yeah.
You're going to get one great fucking ball that you can fuck that black hole in the middle of our galaxy with. No, not the ball. I guess you could teabag the black hole. Oh, I don't know where I'm going with this, but... You can fucking, we will finally be able to spray healthy, non-cancerous jizz into the open mouth of the black hole at the center of our galaxy. But we're only going to be able to do that once we cut out the testicle that's currently filled with lizardy old shitbags who fucking want to control and repress people and information and who just feel it's totally cool to make money off of bombs.
Yep.
That's it. That's the war. That's the battle. Got to get rid of them. Got to chop them out. As far as the resource thing goes, as far as the fucking the resource thing. Well, you know what? Let's see how much resources we have once we stop spending all the money we're spending on war every single month. What's left over?
Absolutely.
I think there's some money there to. There might be some money to play around with after you cease all war. I think there might be some money in the fucking coffers that we could play around with instead of making, you know what I mean? Instead of creating, instead of training troops, we could start training kids to do awesome dances.
Yeah, no, and I mean, and the point is some of it is material, like is money and stuff for sure. And some of it is just environmental. And but money speaks in that sense. So you do have the possibility with shifting your priorities, putting money into saving essentially our ecosystem, the very foundations of life, which when you think about it, shouldn't even be a political issue. It's not a liberal or conservative thing. Is nobody wants to poison the water they drink and the air they breathe. It's that simple, right? And yet it seems complicated because greed is so damn powerful. Short-term, stupid greed that's about everything for me right now that stands in the way of policies that actually make sense and are logical. Again, not based on a particular ideology, based on not being an idiot to destroy its own home, you know?
Here's what it is. Imagine the entire planet as one body. Mm-hmm. And that body, as all of us, has a personality. And as all of us, it has more than one personality. It has different mood states, different types of itself, different parts. Now, right now, there is a battle going on in the mind of this person.
Right.
This person has just gone to the bathroom and reached down to feel one of his sweet balls and has realized that one of his balls are a little swollen. Now, this person as a planet, one side of it is being like, shit, we got to fix this. And the other side of it is like, we don't need to fix shit, man. We've gotten through worse before. Right. We'll get through this. Don't need to do a goddamn thing about it. We'll be fine, you liberal leftist paranoid piece of shit. The planet goes through changes sometimes, and sometimes it swells up.
Right.
That's the battle, man.
Yeah.
That's the battle.
Right.
And it's like, we've got to get these backwoods, redneck, fundamentalist, Christian, geriatric, prohibitionist shitbags to wake up to the fucking fact that one of these sweeties has got to get snipped. And that sweetie is war and the goddamn prohibition of psychedelics and drugs and any other thing that infringes on the liberty of humanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting because good changes have been going on. And at the same time, the speed of destruction increases as well. So it's like both horses are running really damn fast.
Yes.
Lots of awesome things happening every day, improving the quality of our lives, giving us more hope.
Yes.
And more destruction and crap and horrible things. People like to keep it simple. So people are all like, this terrible and horrible world we live in. And I'm like, yeah, there's that. But you're missing completely the other side. That's amazing. Or it's in this fantasy of, it's all for the best. It's all going to work out. It's like, are you looking at the same shit I'm looking at? Because there's some pretty scary, nasty stuff.
There's some dangerous stuff, man. But I did read this. There was a Salon.com article on how actually this has been the best year in human history. Right. Based on, did you see that?
No, I didn't. But.
So it's like, this has been the best year in human history. Now, everything in that article was cool except for one part, which then I kind of stopped reading. But I like some of the stats based on like homicide rates and things in like disease and like other different stuff that's been going on. Like, we really are getting a lot of this shit on lock. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of stopped reading it when it's like, and as far as resources go, we have this wonderful new technology called fracking.
It's like,
fracking? That's fucked. You mean the thing that causes earthquakes and people's water to catch on fire? That's a problem. We have our energy problem.
Yeah.
We have an energy problem.
Big one.
But in the same way, to use the cancer analogy, it's like, so, okay, you got a fucking ball problem. Why are you, like, pretending that you've got a fucking, you know, a problem in a different part of your body?
Yeah.
It's like the real problem's energy, not the Taliban.
Uh-uh.
The real problem's energy, not Osama bin Laden.
Right.
The real problem's energy, not terrorism. Energy, not drugs. Energy, it's fucking figuring out a way that we can get clean, renewable energy to fuel every fucking thing.
Yeah, because that's human survival on Earth. Yeah. The other stuff is there's always some asshole who try to ruin the party, but you take care of that the way you take care of all, you know, that's ordinary in a way. That's not the great, you have a humongous challenge ahead and you have some annoying things on the side, you know?
It's like there's a bar fight going on right now, right? There's a bar fight with a bunch of guys who love to fight. They just like fighting. Fuck it, man. It's the way I blow off steam. I love the goddamn fight. There's a bar fight going on in the world, right? But the bar fight is going on in an establishment where the lights are about to turn off, right? That's a problem. So it's like we need to get the bar, all those guys fighting in the bar fight. It's like, guys, you can come back to your fucking fight.
The bar is about to explode in 35 seconds.
Yeah, we won't be able to fight in the bar anymore, you dumbasses. Yeah. Let's fucking stop that for a second. Do the thing in the fucking cartoons where they like the enemies like clock out for a second. Taliban. The fucking Al-Qaeda, I don't care who you are, you fundamentalist Muslims, right-wing war hawks, all of you people who in your own ways are warriors and there is something heroic about all of you and something in there that's fucking something deep inside of you that like has some idea of like nobility, hang up the fucking swords and send that, like, let's all work together. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds so goddamn, I sound like a goddamn Donovan song, but it's like... it's just fun to consider a month.
Yep.
If we figure out a way to turn war off for a month on the planet,
right?
Just for a month, all wars stop. Just I know this is a thought experiment. I know it's not right, but if you could do it,
right?
For a month, all wars stop. All work stops. No more. Nobody works. We're all gonna fucking gather together and try to figure out. We're gonna get the smartest people that we can find. We use all the money. Is there a way that we can come up with fusion? Is there a way that we can come up with like endless, infinite resources, teleportation, time travel? What would happen in a month? After that month, what kind of fucking planet would we be living on, man?
Seriously, I mean, hell, we have pills that allow you to keep an erection for 8 hours.
Woo!
Some amazing things have been done.
Yes!
We can keep going with that, you know.
Yes, we can make it 12 hours. At the end of the month, we will have 12-hour erections.
Know what I mean? No, but seriously, I think you're right. It's like if that's the priority is, and again, it's not ideological priority, is a very practical one, is saving the conditions that make life possible.
Yes.
As simple as that. Then we can go back to killing each other afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like, let's just set aside the AK-47 for long enough to figure this out. And then by all means, let's just shoot each other again.
You can put it, we'll have it polished, cleaned. You'll get a shiny new AK-47 at the end of this month.
Yeah.
But let's all get to fucking gather and figure out what we've learned in these incarnations and see what happens. And God damn it, with the technology accessible to us today, we could almost do it.
Mm-hmm.
We can almost fucking do it. This is a potential.
Yep.
We're able to organize massive campaigns where we move huge amounts of metal and equipment and machinery to different continents to blow people up. Damn it. If we could figure out a way to use that same organizational system to fucking gather people, really brilliant people together to have... I don't know what you'd call it. I don't know what you'd call the fucking meetings, but some kind of like on a global, massive scale, the governments have to get involved. That's a problem. These old shitbags won't buy this. These old fucking long-toothed old fucking wolves, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's the problem, you know, with any kind of an institution is the people who run them.
Yeah.
Because anything, if you substitute with cool human beings, any institution, even a state, which in many ways is a weird form of organization, can work if the people involved in it are all amazing. But, you know, that's not life. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
But at the same time is, what the hell? And there are ways now where... today the average individual has more power than it did throughout most of human history, just yes. because you have access to, I mean, just the fact that right now we can talk into some cheap microphones, we need new ones, by the way.
Yeah,
and we talk into some cheap microphones and thousands of people in multiple countries will get to think about it and discuss it and chat it with their friends and say, oh, that was such bullshit, or no, that was great, or something, you know. I mean, think, to blow our mind, right now, in this very second, we are talking to way more people than Jesus ever got to do in his entire life.
Right.
That's weird.
That's fucking weird.
That's... It's like, and that's the potential that exists today. So, I mean, in some way, it has to be organized at the top level. In some way, it doesn't, because there's so much amazing stuff that happened. Internet has changed everything, you know. It really has.
It's got. I mean, I don't like organization. I don't really like the term, mm-hmm. but somebody's got to. There's got to be like some kind of spontaneous collectivity that starts happening, mm-hmm. where people like in a realistic way. Don't get together. I'm not saying like get together and like stare at a crystal. I'm saying figure out a way to like fortify and strengthen communities that are inclusive mm-hmm. and connective.
Yep.
And then figure out a way to make super collectives that meet other super collectives and make others bigger collectives that then share information freely
yep.
with no price on it, with the intention of improving humanity's ability to exist on this planet with 11-hour erections.
I thought we already are settling for 11. We are going for 12.
You gotta compromise.
Okay, well, that's fine. 11, close enough. That's good.
I guess like TED Talks are an example of that mm-hmm. in a small scale, sure. like that kind of stuff.
I mean, ideally, is also stuff that leads to action, because, you know, the best philosophy in the world, if it stays something that people talk, it's useless. You know, it has to translate to action in life.
I think Evolver, Pinchbeck's group, I think they have like what's called pods where a group mm-hmm. of people meet up and stuff. So that's a cool attempt at it.
Totally.
I think the Reverend Sun Myung Moon also has wonderful gatherings where you can get married to a stranger.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Well, man, goddamn, as always, it's a blast to have you here.
Always a pleasure. Absolutely. I'm honored and thrilled to be the first to be with One Ball Duncan.
One with Ball you. Duncan! That's
it's an absolute honor.
One Ball Duncan.
It's a badass name, actually.
That's a badass name. That's my country singer name. One yeah. Ball.
I was actually telling you before the podcast came on, it's like, look at the bright side. Now, look at how much Hitler has accomplished with one ball. You can do this. Well, maybe that's not the best example ever, but still.
So weird, because I'm born on Hitler's birthday.
Wow.
So now we are fucking really synchronizing, except in we have some pretty severe philosophical differences.
Yeah, just a tad.
Yeah.
I actually dreamt this. I had this
dream. I don't
dream
like
that,
mustaches.
Yeah, no, that's... And the stupid one he had, whatever. But... And plus, didn't he get killed at the end of Inglourious Basterds? I watched the movie.
Yes.
They shoot him. And in any case, I had it as a dream, this Hitler thing. I saw us talking, and I was like, oh, come on. And I was trying to kind of cheer you up, quote unquote, and I was giving you the Hitler example.
Yeah.
And when I woke up, I was like, oh my fucking God, Bolelli, what's wrong with you? Hitler, really? That's how you're going to cheer up Duncan? He's like, by bringing up Hitler.
That's why we're friends. Only a dear friend would understand the way that would warm my heart.
Yeah, that usually... We must be fully would have worked too well.
Idiots out there. Oh my God, they're Nazis. I knew they're Nazis. Jerry, rewind that. Listen to that. Let's make a YouTube video of it and put sad music behind it. Here, proof Duncan Trussell and Danielle Bolelli are Nazis. Sympathizers!
The fucking anti-Jewish agenda finally comes out.
Finally,
right?
Now we see it. Now we see it.
Yep.
No, man, we're not anti anything except bullshit, I think.
Yep.
But, And I guess I'm a little pro bullshit. I certainly do spew bullshit, but that's just part of it, man. I don't have to do. Great. We're D Bolelli on Twitter.
Yep.
Website.
Website is my name, danielebolelli.com. And then if you guys want to check out the Drunken Taoist podcast, Duncan was on the very first episode. And then we're doing one episode with a guest, one episode just me ranting and going off. And it's been fun so far. People seem to dig it. So if you guys want to check it out, it's The Drunken Taoist.
Go check it out. And you got to start doing lecture tours.
That would be fun. That would be absolutely fun. Let's make it happen.
We got to figure that out. That'd be so fucking fun. All right, guys. I love you. See you guys later. Until next time, Hare Krishna. Thanks for listening to that. If you like it, leave a nice comment on iTunes. You're now listening to 36 Inches High. It's Nick Lowe from his album Jesus of Cool. This was introduced to me by LA-based DJ Nina Tarr, so thank her. And God bless all of you. Keep it real. Check those balls.
Pistols at my side, carrying the flags of war. And I lost track of the man who fell in the cannon's roar. I never got over being a soldier. Once I was a tax man, collecting dollars and dimes. I heard the rich man grumble, I heard the poor man cry. Some feel couldn't afford to pay, were put to the shackle and key. I never got over being a tax man. Once I was a ruler, about 12 inches long. Times me made a yardstick, a 36 inches high. Was I 36 inches high?